Then overall, we should point out that the project was a major economic boon to northeastern Oklahoma, and it changed the lives of many citizens.
Absolutely. Consider all the jobs that it has created as a result of the tourism influx of recreations. Right now, I think one of the big problems is getting out-of-state tourists to understand that Grand Lake is here as they drive down I-44. And hopefully this new venue over at Veneta, the Glass House renovation, will acquaint these people. I understand 20,000 cars or trucks pass under that venue every day, 6,000 stop. Surely if more effort would be made to get visibility for the Grand Lake area there, it would encourage more of them to come over and see it.
Many of us who use the lake for water and all, we think they did it for recreation, and they didn't. It was for generating power. That was number one. And then flood control and recreation was the least of what they were trying to provide.
Well, the Grand River Dam Authority and the Corps actually share responsibility for the dam and the lake level. If the lake level reached flood proportion, it becomes the authority of the major organization, and otherwise it belongs to Grand River Dam Authority.
So the day finally arrives, October 3rd, 1940, and GRDA Board Chairman Ray McNaughton of Miami flips the handle on a small master switch at the power plant below the dam, and that's when all the volts of energy surged into the big four giant transformers of the dam, and the first hydroelectric facility of its type in Oklahoma was operational, so reasonably priced electric power was available in northeastern Oklahoma.
That's the story, and it didn't change until the coal facility was built down by Pryor and Choteau, and now a majority of the electricity is generated there.
The GRDA, they have to deal with recreational issues, but nobody realized when the GRDA was formed how much the recreation was going to be a part of the GRDA board.
Or residences on the lake, you know. There's still a daily dispute, arguments about who can build what where in terms of the GRDA requirements and the Corps requirements. So it's residents as well as recreation that is a whole venue that the original board didn't even think about.
Right. Nearly 2 months earlier, before October 30th, 1940, the road across the dam had been opened, and hundreds crossed the dam on the afternoon of August 13th, 1940. It created a major, major celebration when that happened. The entire Pensacola project was completed in 3 years, 4 months, 26 days, if you consider the start of the project to be September 16, 1937, when President Roosevelt signed the $20 million appropriation bill, and the finish of the project March 14, 1941, when the contract for the observation house was completed. And that's the span of time.
And then shortly thereafter, the government took it over because of the Second World War.
And so on May 10, 1947, the official dedication ceremony, the greatest massing, they say, of watercraft ever conducted in Oklahoma. An estimated 50 expensive cabin cruisers maneuvered near the dam and control station.
It was probably a marvelous sight of old boats, classic boats, and I would have liked to have been there.
I would, too. You're a classic old boat fan, I know.
Former.
Yeah. Former. And I'm former, too, by the way. I had one. Probably not as classic as what they're talking about. But right now, we get hundreds of boats in Duck Creek for the fireworks. That's a massive picture, a very impressive picture. They're not all expensive boats, but from the smallest to the largest, we gather for the Duck Creek fireworks celebration.
I'm constantly amazed that somebody doesn't get killed in that melee when they leave.
When they leave, but somehow everything slows down and everybody is so respectful.
I think it's out of fear.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly. You're protecting yourself. So there's the story of this part of the country. You came out of the Midwest.
I came out of Iowa, yes.
And I came out of North Dakota. I guess they're pretty much landlocked, and we didn't have many lakes up there.
We had one important, Lake Okoboja, which is a blue water lake, by the way.
And I sampled some lakes in Minnesota. So we gravitated here to this part. And northeastern Oklahoma, it's called Green Country. there is a purpose for it because the rest of the state is not as green as we are over here. Now, does the western part of the state, they have lakes, but they certainly don't have what we have here in Grand Lake.
Now, this is a remarkable corner of the universe, as far as I'm concerned.